Vic, you've been doing some work from the socioeconomic side on chronic wasting disease and the impacts that it might have. What exactly are the projects you've been doing?
Well, we've been studying chronic wasting disease and the potential impacts it might have on hunters, because they might feel that they don't want to go to sites that have evidence of chronic wasting disease, and the potential risk for the agricultural sector, in particular for elk farms, the potential risk of transmission of CWD from the wild to the farms, and potential risk on Aboriginal people and their traditional uses.
And how have you actually conducted these studies?
A variety of methods. So the agricultural analysis was done largely based on Statistics Canada information and information on agricultural production and a sense of what the values might be that are at risk. So what might be the potential losses, what might be the costs of trying to mitigate the risks against chronic wasting disease and the impacts on that sector. For the hunters, we focused on hunters who live in Alberta, resident hunters, who hunt in the general vicinity of where the chronic wasting disease cases have been found. And there we documented both their actual choices of where they went hunting. We collected some information for them on their perceptions of chronic wasting disease, how they thought it affected their choices. And then we also asked them some fairly structured questions about what they might do if there were chronic wasting disease cases found in certain places that they hunted. And then the Aboriginal people, we set up a set of interviews and focus group discussions, really collecting information from them on perceptions of chronic wasting disease and how they felt they might play a role in management and how it might affect them and their traditional uses.
Well, let's look at the local hunters first. What have you found out there?
So that's been actually a very interesting case. The first thing we find is that hunters are not all the same. Some hunters feel that there is no risk from chronic wasting disease. They don't think it's going to affect their hunting behavior, their choices of where they go or how often they go. They really don't feel it's a big issue. Other hunters may even stop hunting because they're fearful of chronic wasting disease. Now, we need to document right away that there's no evidence of chronic wasting disease affecting humans. And from that standpoint, it's not the same as BSC or mad cow disease. But of course, there are always concerns, and the hunters are made aware of the concerns around chronic wasting disease. So the number one thing is that there's quite a difference across the population of hunters. The challenge for us is that at the same time as we saw chronic wasting disease cases develop, there were also provincial management programs to try to reduce the cases of chronic wasting disease. And of course, those are confounding influences for us as researchers to try to see what actually changed people's behavior. So that's why we designed these interviews and the documentations of how people behave, to try to be able to separate out how they responded to chronic wasting disease versus how they responded to, say, extra hunting tags as an incentive for people to harvest more deer, or how they responded to culling programs in those regions. I would say the specific findings were a small reduction in number of trips and the likelihood of going to a site when there's chronic wasting disease on average. As I say, some individuals would really avoid the sites, other individuals didn't affect them at all. But on average, we'd see a relatively small decline, but a significant enough decline in the sense that there may be some regional economic impacts associated with these changes. There would be fewer hunting dollars spent, if you like, in local communities where these outbreaks occurred, and likely those would be spent in other places where the hunters would switch to. One of the side findings that we discovered when we were doing our survey work is that at least a third of the hunting population was quite comfortable in either eating the meat or sharing the meat with friends and family before they received the test results back. And another group of that same population, of course, was very concerned and would not eat the meat or share the meat. So first of all, that again illustrates the heterogeneity in the hunting population, but it also illustrates a group that is perceiving a very low risk or almost no risk from this particular issue. Again, that raises very interesting questions about how they perceive risks, how they'll change those perceptions of risk as time goes on. And that was one of those findings that a variety of media outlets picked up as perhaps the most interesting thing from the survey work that was done.
Mm-hmm. So for that group, it's, I'm not dead yet, so.
Well, that's one interpretation. The other interpretation that's provided by various individuals in the hunting community is the best science tells us there's no health risk to humans from chronic wasting disease, and they believe the science. So from that standpoint, it's a very believable result and understandable.
Well, from a dollar point of view, what is hunting worth to the province?
So the aggregate number I think we see as a province is something like $50 million a year in expenditures. So that sounds like a big number. We have to keep in mind a couple of things. The region where chronic wasting disease is appearing is a pretty small piece of the province. It's also likely the case that hunters are largely changing where they're going. So they're still spending money. There's still an economic impact. It's just not in the same places, by and large. There may be some slight reduction in the number of hunting trips, and in that sense, they're spending less on hunting, but they're spending more on something else. So we tend not to think about this in terms of the total expenditure. What we're more concerned about is the fact that hunters are not going to the places that they would prefer to go to. They're now probably going somewhere else. And so we calculate the economic value of hunting loss in a different way. In those cases, we have found losses, economic losses associated with chronic wasting disease that don't appear to be large in any given year, but over time those would add up. And that was one of the outcomes of the studies that we've done is just the size of this. If we don't find a way to reduce chronic wasting disease, it will be a loss that occurs over time.
That's for local hunters. But what about hunters, big game hunters, who come from outside the country?
Yeah, and that's an excellent question. That, of course, is the one group that we haven't studied within this set of projects. And that's a very important group. That's a group that, if they don't come to Alberta, they're going to go somewhere else and spend their hunting dollars. So that, in a straight economic expenditure terms, is a net loss for the province. It's a very hard group to study because they come from all over the world, and it's challenging to try to identify them before they choose to come to Alberta. But it could be a very important group, particularly if there becomes a perception that Alberta is a province that has chronic wasting disease and that somehow negatively affects the non-resident hunter market.
You also talked to Aboriginal people. What are their concerns and what did you find there?
So there, that was a study led by Brenda Parley, one of my colleagues, and there are a number of concerns. One is the possibility, for example, of chronic wasting disease moving from deer to moose, and moose is a more popular game within the Aboriginal communities, a preferred game meat. There are concerns, of course, about the interactions between the fact that they consume a lot of wild game and the potential risk, the human health risk. Again, no documented evidence of human health risk, but there's still concerns. So those are certainly issues. There was lots of discussion, as I understand it, with Brenda and the folks in the Aboriginal communities about the fact that they'd like to play a role in the management of chronic wasting disease, which includes sending the heads from harvested animals in for testing to making sure that there's ongoing monitoring of the presence or absence of chronic wasting disease across the province. And that's something that the province has engaged in very actively, is monitoring and trying to identify the cases of chronic wasting disease.
Now, the agricultural sector, what impact would chronic wasting disease have on the agricultural sector?
So again, what we studied were the values at risk. So if, in the extreme case, if there were if there was evidence of chronic wasting disease in elk herds, for example, that are domestically farmed, then those would have to be destroyed and there would be potentially compensation paid to the sector. And so that would be one end of the spectrum. The other set of values at risk that we studied were cases, for example, for double fencing as a way of reducing the risk of transmission. So that's another way of thinking about what the cost of chronic wasting disease risk would be to the sector. Doesn't mean that they would necessarily do that, but it's a way of capturing that cost. Again, it's not a large amount in aggregate because this is not a large sector relative to agriculture in general in the province. But it's a significant enough case that all of these pieces of evidence put together would be the things we'd use to assess how much we should spend on trying to reduce chronic wasting disease in the province.
What about public perception, though? If we think that there's a disease out there in the wild, I would think that certainly a lot of people who have environmental concerns would be quite upset. What did you find on that front?
So again, that's a very interesting question. We also did a survey of the general public in Alberta, and we asked them about perceptions of chronic wasting disease. Did they know about it? What were they concerned? It was interesting that people admitted in many cases that they didn't know about chronic wasting disease. So it was a relatively new thing that they didn't realize was in the province. We also found, though, that once we provided information and said this exists, then of course there were some concerns that they were concerned about healthy wildlife populations and making sure that we could maintain that status within the province. So there's certainly a desire to keep Alberta's wildlife populations healthy. And then we also presented individuals with series of trade-offs and asked them, well, if, you know, if it takes significant public resources to address this issue, would you be willing to invest in these kinds of activities? And we found that there was actually a significant value associated with investing in reducing chronic wasting disease.
Tell me more about this value. What is the value?
Let me start with the hunting value, because that's, I think, the one that's most concrete. In our estimate of a worst case scenario, so avoiding the spread of chronic wasting disease to the extent that it may occur if we can't slow it down, we were looking at about $500,000 a year in losses to hunters in this worst case scenario. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that $500,000 a year would occur every year if we can't stop chronic wasting disease. So if we could invest in a program that in 2-3 years reduces chronic wasting disease at a cost less than a couple or $4 million, it's worth it, just from the hunting perspective. Again, those are worst case scenarios, and they're just some examples of the numbers. If we add into that the value associated with reducing risks to the agricultural sector, those hunting studies have only been resident hunters. If we add in the Aboriginal people, even among those, I think we have some ideas of what the benefits are. The public benefits are the hardest ones to assess. The public in general is interested in supporting these programs if they're effective. And so they would be, I would say, quite supportive of spending the several million dollars that it would cost if we could actually guarantee or with some certainty say that we'll remove chronic wasting disease.
For the person who has to make decisions, the policymakers, what are their concerns and what do you tell them?
I think there are a number of concerns. So first of all, there's a lot of uncertainty around the physical numbers, around transmission, around the effectiveness of control, around the economic impacts. I mean, our numbers are not perfect. We're doing the best we can, but we need to make assumptions around a variety of the changes. I think we have to realize as well that the control programs are not always very popular either, that we don't like the notion of having chronic wasting disease in the deer population, but the measures to try to reduce chronic wasting disease are not always acceptable from some parties as well. So it's a difficult choice for policymakers. From our perspective, we're just trying to put the information on the table, make it clear, do the best we can in identifying what those costs and benefits are, and recognize that there will be trade-offs in making these decisions. And a lot of them, as I say, involve the uncertainties, the scientific and the social and economic uncertainties around this issue. So it's a challenging issue. And I think our job as scientists is first to present that information as best we can.
Outline for me what those trade-offs might be.
Well, clearly, the first set of trade-offs is the fact that this is an expenditure. And there are lots of things that we can spend money on, and we know that we're generally having harder times making those choices given the budget situation. So that's step one. Trade-offs associated with what really are the benefits of reducing chronic wasting disease, but probably most importantly, can we actually do it? And we know in some cases, as I understand, if we have small numbers of cases and if the control programs can move in with some effort, it can actually be removed. In other cases, chronic wasting disease has spread and exists for long periods of time in some parts of the United States, for example, and it's unlikely that any kind of management effort will remove the disease. So somewhere between those two might be where Alberta is, and we just don't know. That's one of the hardest questions, is to assess the efficacy of a management program and whether it's worth investing in.
You've been looking at this with an Alberta perspective. What have other studies shown outside of the province, in the United States, for example?
So interestingly, there have been relatively few studies on the social and economic side. There are some very good recent studies out of Wisconsin, for example, where chronic wasting disease was discovered, and they found significant declines in hunter populations in some regions. So again, much like us, they found these changes in certain regions. They found a variety of different impacts, kind of heterogeneity across the population, and they took action fairly quickly. My understanding is some newer studies have shown that things have bounced back a little bit, so the hunters are adjusting, if you like. They're updating their perceptions on what the risks are. Most of the other cases in Midwestern or Western U.S., for example, though, there's very good documented evidence on the disease and the spread and the prevalence, but I haven't seen as many studies on the economic impact associated with the disease, largely because I think it's just a fact of life in the populations.
Now that you've done this research, what does it tell you about the future?
Well, first of all, I think there are some pieces that we're missing that we'd like to get better information on. The group of non-resident hunters, for example, the folks from outside the province, I think they're an important piece of this puzzle, that it would be great to start to identify what those economic impacts are. The other side of this, for me, is a better understanding of how humans respond to risks in a general sense. In this context, our most focused studies were hunters and their response to chronic wasting disease. We'd like to continue to study that over time. We've done a second round of surveys, a second year worth of surveys that we're just analyzing. Perhaps hunters adjust their perceptions. Perhaps they change their perspectives on chronic wasting disease. And in a broader context, this is really about how people respond to risk by changing their behavior, by spending money on different kinds of activities. And we're really trying to better understand how that process works. An application to hunters and chronic wasting disease, the same general science questions could be applied to consumers and food safety questions. All of these things are really about human behavior and risk. I think the other big picture issue is how we can integrate our understanding of human behavior in this context with the natural systems, which might mean how better understanding hunters, their response to risk, deer populations, deer movements, landscape interactions, and the bigger system. And the bigger system is always fun to understand. It's got all the different pieces, and it's really the interdisciplinary approach to understanding the system, which may include how does chronic wasting disease spread given natural influences and human influences on the landscape and on the wildlife populations.
Thank you very much, Vic.
You're welcome.